Today on Real Radio.
Because in this church, we have wishbones. I wish we had red carpet. How come we don't have more windows? And you've got wishbones all over the place. And we got those. And then we got jawbones. And the jawbones are always going. And they'll take this news and it gets over here as fast as you can shake a stick. And there's jawbones all over the place. And you got funny bones. And they're real sensitive. What did he mean by that? Come on. You know, and then we got dry bones.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We're looking at the first of these two New Testament canonical letters, and it is sometimes referred to as one of the pastoral epistles, or letters to those called into the ministry. Today, we look at part of chapter 3, where we find a list, as it were, of personal qualities required of an overseer of God's people. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs, continuing in this mini-series called Qualifications for the Ministry.
In verse 8, he says, likewise, or in the same manner, deacons must be reverent. He says there that they're not to be double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money. In the Bible, in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, we have the birthplace of the deacon. It says there in Acts chapter 6, if you want to run over there in your Bibles, it says, now in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplying, there arose a murmuring against the Hebrews for the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Listen now, verse 2, Acts chapter 6. Then the 12 apostles summoned the multitude of the disciples. Deacons are first disciples or followers of Christ. And they said to them, it is not desirable, it's not right for us that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out among yourselves seven men of good, listen, good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit, wisdom, that we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually, the pastors will give themselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And this saying pleased all the people, and they took to themselves there Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Now look, these guys are going to wait on tables. Listen, we get served out in the world by who knows what. The awesome thing about this is when you come into the church, deacons should be here serving you. They're waiting on tables. They're waiting on your chairs. They're waiting on your children right now. They're teaching your kids. It simply means to be a servant. But this particular order is the deacon of deacons, or the overseer of deacons. And it's very interesting to see how in some churches, this word deacon means like you're almost a pope. And that's not scriptural. They are servants, and they are precious backbones to the ministry. No church will survive without deacons. This word is diakonos in the Greek, and it simply means to be a minister or a servant, an attendant. And, you know, you might want to say, well, okay, great. You know, how long do I be one? How do I be one? Listen, you can be a deacon as long as you're deaconing. And as long as you're deaconing all over the place. You deacon, it's just, you serve. And you serve in this body or in the body that you're going to church at as long as you're called to do so. And God will move you along. Quite often, God will take a deacon and he'll promote him into the ministry as a full-time pastor. And so every pastor must first be a deacon, a servant. And you're to have a good reputation. You're to be a person who is upright. Now, do we have ceremonies here for becoming a deacon? We don't. Some places do. We don't. Now, if we had a head deacon here, we might go so far as in Acts chapter 6, lay hands on him and pray over him concerning his office as deacon. So we're not going to have any kind of stuff like that. And what, you know, what kind of authority does a deacon have? You know what? Deacons, true deacons, they could care less about authority. They actually gain respect of people by their servanthood. And from there, their authority comes. But they're not authority-seeking people. They're servants. They're precious. Every one of you sit here this morning blessed already in this church by a deacon. A deacon made sure the lights were on. A deacon made sure that the door was unlocked. A deacon makes sure that you get your tape, that your children are being taken care of. And we thank God for the deacons that he's put here. In Ephesians 6:21, the Bible says, "But you also may know my affairs," Paul says, "that how I am doing Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful deacon in the Lord, minister, will make known all things to you." Philippians 1:1, Paul says, "And Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints of Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons." Beautiful support ministry they are. And so he says that he's not to be a man who's double-tongued, or he's first of all to be reverent. That word simply means worthy of respect. And it suggests this, people, as well. He's worth working for. He's not a lord and he's not a boss. The children's ministry. If you're involved in the children's ministry and if Roy is being some kind of a boss, pushing you around, that's wrong. If Chuck comes up here and you're trying out and he chews on you because you're not hitting the right note and as a worship deacon, it should be gentle, loving. They should be people that you love to listen to and get instruction from. They're not to be double-tongued. This is great. You know, like a snake, sticks his tongue out there and the thing's split. This is great. That word means not to be talking out of both sides of your mouth simultaneously. And that's heavy. Think about it. Saying one thing this way and one thing the other way. Double-tongued. It also suggests it's a gossiper. It's not to be a gossiper. And that's pretty heavy because the deacon, the head deacon that's referred to here, is privy to a lot of information, quite possibly. "Oh, that's what happened. Oh, we'll be sure to pray for her. Okay, thanks, you guys." Walk away. "Hey, Barney!" And it's announced. Charles Spurgeon says this, most persons who have secrets told to them are like the lady whom it is said of her only tells two types of people the secret, those who ask and those who don't. I like that. He's not to be double-tongued. He's not to be a gossiper. Proverbs 20:19 says, "He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with their lips." Proverbs 26:20, "Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases to exist." You know what? One thing, if you've got a big mouth in your church, somebody who's yakking everything, when God moves them on, he will move them on. He will. When they're gone, the peace and calm that comes over the church, everyone just kind of goes, "Oh boy." And you can feel it. The deacon is not to be somebody who does that. Not greedy for money, he says there. Again, much like the pastor, the deacon, although, at least in this church, I handle no money. I know what the balance is. I know what the bills are. I know all of the stuff financially, but I don't touch money. We've done it in such a way here that I don't want to be near it. That means the deacons here handle money extensively. After the offering, they count it and they initial it. They've got to really keep close tabs, and there's great accountability. And to protect the deacon, none of the deacons here are allowed to be with the money alone. There must be two or more deacons with him at all times. We actually here require three deacons to be together when the money's being counted. Each one initials and passes on to the next. And they're all in the same room. Why? We're protecting them. We're protecting them. And we think it's interesting. And also this, as long as those men who are dealing in the money or with the money see it as simply a tool to accomplish God's work, they're fine. If somebody starts to get their heart messed up and they start to look at the money as though it's something for them, oh, and listen, if your heart says, oh, if I only had some of this, you know what? If you came to me and said, you know what, I'm having greedy thoughts about this. I need to sit out for a little bit. I will respect you. Because if you start thinking that thought while you're counting the money that God has allowed these people to make, and then they, out of their own loving heart, give back to God, if you're thinking those thoughts, and that opens up a door for the enemy, we need to be careful. I can't have the temptation. And that's very respectable. Verse 9, he says, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience, verse 9. That simply means this, that the deacon ought to know the Bible. I should have no hesitation at all saying to a deacon, hey, can you take this guy and show him baptism in the scriptures? He should know the word of God. He should be able to open the word of God and have a pure conscience, meaning he lives the word of God in his life. The word of God is being lived out in his life. His talk matches up to his walk. Verse 10, but let these also first be proven or proved. Then let them serve as a deacon. And this word proven means to be tested, tried. I love to see a man of God who's come through trials and he's weathered the storms. His faith is sound. There's a peace about his heart. He's a good man. He's been proven. He's been tried. He's not to be somebody that comes walking right on and says, can I be a deacon? Yeah, we need deacons. There you go. And you don't know anything about the guy. We need to be careful. He needs to be proven. He needs to keep the word of God. And this is one of the things that we look for in a deacon too, is, gee, you know, I want to be a deacon. You know what we look for here? Availability. Are you available? Be there. Available at what? At everything. I mean, what? Whenever you're available, be there. And you'll get used. God will bless you. And God will bless people through you. And you know what? In Proverbs 20, verse 6, it says, most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? The deacon is to be a faithful man. He's to be a man whose commitment is true. He's committed to God. And how sorry America has slipped, and the American church has slipped from commitment. We're not committed to anything these days. You know that? Basically. You know, the cloud blows by, a couple of drops of rain, people stay home from church. The Santa, I can't go today, the Santa Ana wind's blowing. I can't go to church today. I can't go to that prayer meeting. We've got excuses for everything. We're not committed. We need to be committed. A deacon ought to be a committed man. I love the guys that we have here. Man, you can pick up the phone. Poor guy. I got so caught up this morning. I'm tooling along, and it was early, and it escaped me what time it was. And I said, I need to talk to this brother, this usher who's a deacon. Called him up. Hello. Oh, man. How come you're not up? And I felt so bad. Hey, what do you want? What do you want? The guy, what? You know, I'll do it. I felt like a heel. You know? But the guy's available. His heart's there. It's incredible. Deacon needs to be a man that's committed. I tell you, there was a brother, there still is a brother in this fellowship that a year and a half ago, he got on the wrong side of me. He came into this church and just wasn't cool. And I climbed up one side of him and down the other, and he kept coming back to church. And then about 2, 4, 3 months went by, and he said something, and he just, okay, and went and sat back down. And you know, that guy's still here today, and he's one of the neatest allies I have. He's a faithful man. He's committed. And now, I praise God, because now my heart, I know his heart. He knows my heart. We know each other. And it's a precious thing. He needs to be a committed man, a faithful, faithful man. A man, and by the way, all of us ladies, men, don't we just yearn for Jesus to say to all of us, well done, thou good and faithful servant? That's how a deacon needs to be. And so verse 11, likewise. Now, some of your Bibles may be correctly translated, and it says, likewise, or in the same manner as verse 8, women must be reverent. Some of your Bibles, like mine, says in italics, their wives must be. Well, you know what? The italics means the translators put that in there. It means it's not in the original. And I like it all the better because it proves this beautiful point. Can there be deaconesses? And the answer is absolutely yes. Absolutely. Somebody called, bless their heart, I love them. They called, they said, we visited your church last week for the first time, and we saw a woman usher. Is that scriptural? And I got all fired up because this person cared enough to call. And I said, yes, get your Bible. Go to Romans chapter 16. And so she ran over there and I said, listen, it says there, I commend to you Phoebe, Paul says, our sister who is a deaconess, a servant of the church in Centuria, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and assist her in whatever business she has need of. For indeed, she has been a helper. That's a servant again, a deaconess of many and of myself also. Also this, people, verse 3 of Romans 16, greet Priscilla. You know Aquila's wife, Priscilla? My fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Greet Mary, who labored for us. Verse 7 of Romans 16, greet Andronicus and Juno, two women, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners who are note among the apostles for their servanthood. Deaconesses. It is scriptural and it's in the Bible. Romans 16, 12, greet Tyrena and Tryphosa. Those are incredible names. Who have labored in the Lord. Isn't that interesting? You can be a deaconess. And come on. Right now, most of our children are being taught beautifully the Word of God right now by a bunch of deaconesses who are deaconing to our kids. And we rejoice and we thank God for that. They're to be reverent, not slanderers. That word, that's a heavy-duty word. What's Satan's nickname? The slanderer. They're not to be literally she-devils. Isn't that heavy? That's what that word means. She's not to be a she-devil. She's not to be a she-devil or a slanderer with her mouth. She's to be someone who builds up rather than tears down. Temperate, faithful in all things. Verse 12, let deacons, now this is deacons, all of them as far as I'm concerned, but specifically the man, because the man, according to the Bible, the head of the deacons ought to be a man. So he jumps back to verse 12 and says, let deacons be the husbands of one wife. He's to have his heart for her and her only. He's to be committed to her, the wife of one. And so, it says they're ruling their children and their own house well. Beautiful word again for ruling. It means to stand over, to maintain, to preside, or to groom. And let me end with this, guys. We're not to take this image like a tree, and here's this beautiful tree. We're not to come up to our families and have this axe and groom it with an axe. Chomp off this branch and cut off that thing and chomp on that. We're to groom our families. Deacons, you're to groom them. You're to nurture them. See to it that this is right, that your wife is well kept. I don't mean well kept physically. I mean well kept her heart. You're meeting her needs emotionally and spiritually. You're not to chop on them. You're to rule and run the house well. Now, we'll go quickly here. In verse 13, we'll end it here. If a deacon, look, for those who have served well as deacons, obtain for themselves a good standing In the Greek, it's a rung on a ladder or an honorable step. It's like up a staircase. A good step. They're to receive, or if they're faithful, a good standing and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Beautiful thing. Listen, you step out and serve, you'll get more bold in a beautiful way, in a godly way. Service, people, here's the key for all of us. If we're servants, we will become more faithful. We will become more accountable. We will discipline our lives. We'll have more faith as we serve. The word of God will be fulfilled in our lives, and you'll have boldness. And I want to end with this. In this church, you are going to be something. You're either going to be a pew potato or a deacon or a deaconess or whatever. But here's the thing. The body of Christ is fit together. All of these fingers, all of these eyes, ears, is placed upon a bone skeletal structure. And what kind of a bone are you? Where are you in this church? God may be speaking to you. It's time to get up. It's time to go. I don't mean now. We'll end in a minute. I mean, it's time to serve. It's time to become a deacon or a deaconess. Because in this church, we have wishbones. I wish we had red carpet. How come we don't have more windows? And you've got wishbones all over the place. And we got those. And then we got jawbones. And the jawbones are always going. And they'll take this news and it gets over here as fast as you can shake a stick. And there's jawbones all over the place. And you got funny bones. And they're real sensitive. What did he mean by that? Come on. You know, and then we got dry bones. Very orthodox in theology, but boy, ain't no spirit around them at all. They're just dry and dusty. And then, like this church, and it's the only way, people, with all gratitude and seriousness from my heart, how we've got in such a short time to this place here is by the backbones. You know, and we've all been there, and we're there, and we're backbones. And it's precious. And God moves with his backbones. And it's a great thing. And we're blessed by that. And so what kind of a bone are you in the body of Christ?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, addressing the issue of personal qualifications for those called into positions of watching over a local body of believers of God's people. It's a look at Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 3, a mini-series called Qualifications for the Ministry. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, if Real Radio is making a difference in your life, let us know. You can drop a line to Pastor Jack by either calling, clicking, or writing. In fact, when you visit us at realradioactive.org, simply click where it says Send Us a Message. Here's one from a listener in Scandinavia. Greetings. My name is Austin, and I come to Chino Hills from Norway a few times a year to do business and to see my friends. When I'm there, I attend your Sunday and Wednesday services. By sending this email, I wish to thank Pastor Jack and all the others that make this possible for me and for the people of Chino Hills. You all make a huge difference in people's lives, mine included. God bless you. I came back to Norway a week ago, but I will be back in Chino Hills April the 10th. For 2 weeks, and I'm counting the days. Sincerely, Austin Ellingson, Norway. Well, thank you, Austin. You see, these words mean a lot to Pastor Jack and for the rest of us. So, once again, you can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and click where it says Send Us a Message. If you'd like to call us, here's our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or for the cost of a stamp, write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. And in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.